Whenever you hear the word ransomed or the word freed in the Bible or in the catechisms, you should think of the word redemption. For ransoming and setting free were two of the things a redeemer is expected to do in the Bible. Now, redemption is one of those salvation words we hear, but we typically don't really know exactly what it means. Well, redemption is a big picture word, like the word salvation. In fact, redemption is virtually a synonym for salvation, for they both basically mean deliverance. In the Bible, a redeemer is one who delivers you when you are helpless to deliver yourself. And the Bible speaks of three different settings where you can get yourself into a helpless situation and need a redeemer to deliver you: financial, legal, and physical. Financially, you can get yourself under a debt that you're helpless to pay. And in the Old Testament, that would result in you being made a slave to your creditor. In that situation, you need a redeemer to pay the debt that you can't pay so that you can be set free. And that's what the Bible means by ransom. It isn't talking about the extortionate demand of a kidnapper, but the legal demand of a creditor. The second situation you can get into, which is helpless, is a legal situation. You can get yourself into a situation in court where you have no legal leg to stand on. So you're helpless to advocate for yourself. You need someone to deliver you by advocating for you. And of course, that means more than just coming up with some concocted argument. That means removing the legal impediment and the legal sentence against you. If you have a legal judgment of debt against you for a debt you're helpless to pay, then being your deliverer advocate means first paying your debt and then pointing out in court that your debt has been paid and that you're no longer under a rightful legal judgment of slavery to your creditor. Now, regarding redemption in the financial and legal settings, we have a beautiful picture of redemption in the book of Ruth. In that book, Ruth and Naomi, her mother-in-law, have both lost their husbands. So they're penniless, and they come back to Bethlehem, which is Naomi's hometown. But the land of Naomi's late husband has been confiscated, most probably due to long overdue debts. Now, Boaz comes into the picture because he is moved with compassion for Ruth and Naomi. So he goes to the elders of the town, who in those days served as the legal court. Boaz advocates on behalf of Naomi and Ruth. He points out the duty of Naomi's next of kin and calls upon him to redeem Naomi and Ruth by paying off the debts on the land, restoring it to Naomi and Ruth, and then bringing Naomi and Ruth under the wing and care of the next of kin. But the next of kin refuses because he looks at his financial situation and he says, well, this is just going to dissipate my estate. It's going to divide it up further, and thus it's going to reduce it for my existing heirs. So he declines to do the godly thing. So Boaz, who is a more distant relative, then steps forward as redeemer. He pays the debt on the land, restores it to Naomi, he marries Ruth, and brings them both into his household. So that is a picture of a redeemer in both a financial and legal setting, because Ruth and Naomi were helpless in both of those respects. And that brings us to the third setting for redemption, and that is physical. And by physical, what I mean is that it pertains to one's freedom. If you and your possessions have been taken captive by a strong man, and you're helpless to free yourself, you need a redeemer to avenge you by overpowering your captor and freeing you in your possessions. There's a great example of this in the Bible, in the story of Abraham and Lot in Genesis chapter 14. Now there, Lot and his family have moved off. They're living in the town of Sodom, and their whole family, all of their possessions, and really the whole town, has been taken captive as spoils of war by a band of four hostile kings. So Abraham plays the role of redeemer avenger. He gets his 318 men. He comes and miraculously overpowers those kings, defeating them, rescuing Lot and his family, and his townspeople, plundering the kings of their booty and restoring the possessions to the rightful owners. So that is a picture of the Redeemer Avenger. They were in the power of someone more powerful than them, and they needed a strong man stronger than the bad strong man who had taken them captive. And Abraham played that role. How does all of this apply to us? Well, you can see in these three settings, it really gives us the story of what Christ has done for us. For the Bible tells us that through the sin of our father Adam, to which we have added and heaped up our own sins, we have placed ourselves in a helpless situation in all three ways. We have incurred a debt we're helpless to pay off. Don't forget that Jesus tells us the entire law is about love. The entire law is about loving God with all that we are and loving our neighbor as ourself. And so what love does is love creates a debt. Love creates a constant debt. We are always indebted to God to love him with everything we have, and we're indebted to our neighbor to love them as ourselves. And so you see that in the Bible, love is a debt that can be paid but never paid off. Love is the only debt that is a good debt in the Bible. But the whole key for debt, for love, is that you have to stay current on your debts. When you fall behind by failing to render love that is due and owing either to God or to another, you can never go back. You can never go back and pay that off. And so because of our sin, our failure to render love to God and others that is due and owing, which is started with Adam and Eve, we have piled up this debt of love that then places us that we can never pay off. And we've also incurred a legal judgment that we're helpless to remove, for it is the legal sentence of death. That is the wage that comes from sin, failing to render love that is due and owing. And as a result of those, we have been legally consigned to slavery to the one who hates us, even Satan. Now, that's about as helpless as you can get. You see, Satan is often thought of as being kind of a kidnapper and an accuser, which he is an accuser in the legal setting in God's courtroom in heaven. But the problem is that Satan didn't kidnap us. We went with him, okay? We followed him. We listened to his word. We followed his will instead of the will of the one who loved us. That gave Satan a legal claim over us. He could legally and rightfully say to God, man has listened to my word, not your word. Man has followed me, not you. Man has imaged me, not you. And that gave him a rightful legal claim over man. And so the ransom that is paid in that setting is not the ransom paid to a kidnapper. That's an illegitimate situation. It is the debt paid in a court that is truly due and owing. Satan had legal rights over us, and again, that's about as helpless as you can get. But Jesus came forth as our Redeemer in all three ways. With his life given on the cross, Jesus has paid our debt, he has satisfied the judgment against us, and he has overcome Satan, the strong man who held us captive. It tells us in Revelation chapter 12, when Jesus ascended into the throne of God, at that point, Satan has no more legal claim over mankind or the earth, because Jesus has a superior claim. And what happened at that point is that basically Satan refused to leave. When your case gets thrown out of court, you have to leave. You don't just to get to hang around. You have to leave. Satan refused to leave. So what happens in Revelation 12 is the equivalent of getting thrown down the courthouse steps. Jesus throws him out of heaven because he has no more legal standing in the court of God. This is what Jesus does for us as our Redeemer.